Whoa, it's that's painful. It's the news, according to me. Good Tuesday morning. It is April 16th, 7:59 a.m. Almost 8 o'clock. April 16th, 2024, day after tax bill day. It's a tax bill. Some of you get refunds. I understand. Some of you out there get some refunds. What's that like? Whew. The thing that's painful, I was talking about, you know, a painful thing at the beginning there. I was looking at my listenership was down yesterday. I'm not sure what happened. Maybe because it was tax day. That must have been what it was. Because it's down, it's 25% what it normally is. Yesterday. What happened there? When I see that kind of thing happen, it typically causes me to wonder if the algorithms have changed. Now, this is always kind of concerning to me because concerning. The reason is because I've had this happen to me before. I've seen numbers go down inexplicably. And is that a word? Unexplainably. And it is very concerning because what's in my cup is chai, this old chai with this stuff. I don't have a backup cup this morning. I've got a backup bottle of water. What's disconcerting about this, I've gone through this before, where the situation was. Now, sometimes they don't. The results don't come in through. Well, it's how they calculate this stuff is kind of weird sometimes, because sometimes it'll spike and they can, obviously there was some dumping of data somewhere. So I don't know. We will find out, I guess. I have a couple things I want to get into today. I talked about the cup. I can check that off. I've got a few things I want to talk about, several things, actually. But the other thing that was painful was yesterday. I wasn't going to get into this at all, but taxes. Now, granted, last year, I think my wife and I probably made more money last year than we've ever made in our lives. And we're still living in the same house with fewer payments, actually. I mean, as far as phone bills and utilities and that kind of thing, we used to have car payments and all kinds of other things. Don't do that anymore. We have, but interestingly enough, you know, you make more, the next thing you know, well, you spend more too. That happens. But we also pay a lot more in taxes. A whole lot more. After everything that was deducted from our wages over the past year or last year, we still got the, you know, express bonus of paying out between federal and state. Got to write a check out yesterday for about $20,000, well, two checks, but there was totals about $20,000. That's like a punch in the gut. I had some plans for that money. I was actually going to do some things with that money. I'm sure the government's going to do better things with it than I would have done. Sure, they're going to be much more responsible with that money than I would have been. That's always comforting to know. You know, it just comes at a bad time with when you talk about everything that's going on in the world. And you know how hard we have to work for that money. I mean, it is not easy, especially after everything I went through last week. That's really what I get paid for. I pretty much do my job for free. It's the being away from home and the training crap. That's why they pay me, my opinion, as far as I'm concerned. If I didn't have to go through that stuff, I'd probably do it for free. Well, I mean, I need to, some, you know, got to pay me something. But it is frustrating to see them. And now they're talking about giving a loan to Ukraine. We've worked it out. We're not going to give them aid. We're going to give them a loan. How do you justify that? Now talk about overestimating the value of something. I guess Speaker of the House Johnson and Trump got together and they decided, well, we'll give them aid, but we're just going to call it a loan. How do you think they're going to pay it back? They've got nothing left. This is a losing battle, and I hate to say this, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but obviously, this isn't just going to be over next week. How long has this war been going on in Ukraine? Does anybody even know? It's been over a year. That's typically, not what you want to see in a war. When infrastructure on both sides is now being destroyed, Putin's taking some hits now inside his country. Initially, it was, you strike us, we're going to escalate it. Well, you escalated it to begin with. I'm going to punch you in the face, but if you punch back, I'm going to really punch you hard. If you punch back, I'm going to shoot you. That's kind of the way it works here, apparently now. So I guess there's speaking of wars, there's the Gaza war, there's the Iranian war now between Iran and Israel. They're fighting with each other. Now, it's probably a good thing that no one was killed, as far as I know, in the Israeli defense of the Iranian attack. They did get, I guess, 99% of the missiles got shot down. 1% of them got through, whatever. That's what they're saying anyway. And that's, so they did, I guess they struck a couple of military bases, but nothing really was damaged. Now, the kind of drones they were using were kind of low-tech stuff. However, they did have a couple of missiles that I guess were, now here's the, what's interesting about this. I think they were testing this stuff. This says two things. They say that this one attack and defense situation cost on both sides, if you had total up the total on both sides, was about $1 billion for that day were spent in munitions. Now, they've depleted those now. So they need to get more. Now, here's the problem. You don't just have more sitting there. How much of your stockpile has now been wasted on that weak attack? And this is what they do. This is what they will do. They've gathered all this information now. Now they have all this data on, okay, if we send this many missiles, if we send this type of missile. I think that they had different targets for different types of missiles to see. That way, when they do strike something, they would know, okay, these missiles worked, those missiles didn't. And this is where their defense systems are. And this is now we know where the defense systems were shot from. There's just all kinds of information, intelligence they can gather from something like this. So is it worth it? Well, I don't know. I don't think they could do it. They can't afford to do this every day. On either side. And I don't know that they necessarily discern between a Scud missile and a nuclear missile in terms of the type of technology they'll use to shoot the thing down. Now, here's the problem with that. You're using the same technology, and of course, now you have less of it. If there were 300 missiles or whatever there were, and you had 400 defensive missiles, well, now you've only got 100 left. What if the other country next to you now, the other country that's mad at you, they have 300 missiles? You see where this is going. They can start depleting their supply, and to the point where you're backed into a corner. Now you have nothing left. The only way you can retaliate is the big bomb issue, at least a tactical one. This could get very ugly very fast. So, Vladimir Zelensky, whatever his name is, the dictator of Ukraine, is now demanding that the United States help them the way they're helping Israel. It's a mess. And I don't know. It's always easier to think that things would be different if Trump was in office. I don't know. I don't know how much different they would be. And I don't know how much it's kind of always kind of a little bit of a straw man idea. It's also crazy to say that. I mean, and Donald Trump has said this thing would be, the war in Ukraine would be over in 24 hours. That might have been the case had it not been for the Democrats having put through some legislation that actually is going to paralyze him in negotiations. It's actually, I can't believe what they've done. It's just they want to lock this war in so that he can't stop it. And I won't get into the details of that because I don't really understand them, because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a geopolitical expert, much like AOC, and I'm not a financial counselor at all. But I will be talking about some of those things, because we're going to talk about the couple of things we're going to talk about is one of the legal cases against Trump and some of the things that are doing to him now. The newest case that has popped up. We're going to talk about the Golden Gate Bridge, some events that happened there, and some statements that RFK Jr. made. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the Fannie Willis saga that continues to go on. I have I've heard a rumor this morning that RFK Jr. was asked to be Donald Trump's VP pick, and he declined because he doesn't want to work with him. I seriously doubt that there was a formal request from the Donald directly in person. I seriously doubt that this happened. I believe what I see this at, right through it, what RFK Jr. is trying to do here, he's trying to separate himself from Trump. He has never really, now Donald Trump has said he respects RFK Jr. and he likes the guy. RFK Jr. has tried his best to flatly distinguish himself from Trump and say that he's not a Trump fan. He doesn't like Trump, without being too over the top with it, because he knows that he's trying to win Trump fans over to him. So he's not trying to be, you know, on the attack necessarily, but he just doesn't want anything to do with him, supposedly. But that's... No, I don't think it would be a good pick. I don't think having him there would be a good pick necessarily. There are things I like about RFK Jr. because he's a traditional Democrat. If this is a traditional Democrat issue, there'd be a lot less problems if a traditional Democrat got into office, which everybody thought they were getting with Joe Biden. And of course, he's a wet noodle. He's not a real person. He's just goes along with whatever his administrative dictators tell him to do. I guarantee, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Joe Biden's not walking into the room when he's having a cabinet meeting and saying, here's what we're going to do today. He's not in charge of that. Here's the plan, folks. This is the vision for America. No, that's not what he does. He's got the spin doctors telling him what to say. He's got everybody telling him what to do, how much he can talk, how many people he can answer, what people he can answer. He's got a list of people he has to call on. Now, he's either the world's greatest actor playing the bumbling idiot, or he really is a bumbling idiot. I'm going to go with the latter because I'm pretty sure that's what he is. Now, I seriously doubt this guy's. There's a 95% chance this guy's not going to be on the ballot in maybe 99. Whatever I've said in the past, whatever percentage I've given, I don't think this guy's going to be on the ballot in November. Biden, that is. They're trying to get Trump off the ballot. Now, here's what amazes me about this whole thing. This trial now that Bragg has, what they're saying is that this goes back to this whole Stormy Daniels thing again. They're saying that him paying hush money to Stormy Daniels. Now, keep in mind, you don't pay hush money to somebody who isn't threatening to say something. You also don't pay hush money to somebody that nothing ever happened. Well, now we're finding out this whole thing between Cohen and Stormy Daniels. Could have been a ruse. It may never have happened. Stormy Daniels is now denying that she ever had an affair with Donald Trump, which the affair was a whatever kind of arrangement they had. She was pretty adamant about it before because it came out in a book. Somebody discovered it and it went public because, that's before he ran for president. And all of a sudden, then all this kind of cascades into this whole thing, and Michael Cohen gets involved. He's perjured himself so many times, and then lied about perjuring himself. He's lied about the little lies he's told. It just blows my mind that this guy's, and he's got a couple million-dollar contract as a spokesperson or whatever he is for a source for CNN and NBC or whatever, MSNBC, whatever that is. Now, there's this lady named, is it Cuthridge? Whatever her name is. She worked for Fox News for years. Highly respected. Very good. Independent, actual journalist. Well, she was hired by CBS. And she just, I'm going to CBS now. I mean, and I'm sure she probably feels like, well, now she's getting in with the legacy news. She's getting in with a real news organization instead of just this little Fox thing here. Well, she was asked, she got fired because she went after Joe Biden. Now she'll say, her statement is, I was terminated. That position was terminated. She won't say why. It's probably because there's probably some kind of an NDA, probably some kind of a issue there legally. She was fired. They tapped her phones. They kept her computers. All of her personal stuff that was in the office. The data that she had on this investigation she was doing on Joe Biden. And some other things. Kept it all. That's unprecedented. Now she's standing before Congress. Jim Jordan's been talking to her. And these people, it amazes me. Some of the people that I've seen go from Fox News to the legacy news, as if they've made it, they've arrived. And all of a sudden their attitude changes. They're on the Biden train all of a sudden. Now she did not do that. And I see what happens here. They cherry pick from Fox News sometimes, get some decent people, and they fire them. Look at Chris Wallace. Used to be a decent guy. His legacy is shot. It's gone. He went over to NBC from Fox, and all of a sudden does anybody even know who he is? There's a reason why they'll throw big bucks at these people because that's, you can buy off your enemy, basically, is what it amounts to. So, this is how it happens. Now, CNN has lost some people to Fox News as well. That has happened as well. But it's typically because they get fired from there. Now, I don't think she will ever get to go back to Fox News. I doubt it. They might take her back. She probably won't go back, but she's filing a lawsuit now. There's all kinds of weird stuff going on. Now, in the midst of all that, you're now recovering the Trump trials and all everything else that's going on, the Biden issues and the Biden scandals and everything else that's happening. All of a sudden, that's quieted down. They just have smoothed that over. Nobody's talking about that anymore. The news cycle has moved on. It's still there, but it's just moved on. So now this issue with Donald Trump and Alvin Bragg, who's now going after him for a felony. How do you sit back and say that this is not a political attack, first of all? Everybody recognizes that it is. You've got a man who is running for president, who is obviously winning in the polls, obviously a threat to the Democrat Party because they realize he could win. Now, think about that. This guy could win. In other words, the majority of the American people might vote for this guy. We need to take him out. We need to eliminate him as a candidate. We need to do everything we can to save democracy. No, you don't understand democracy, apparently. Well, the people just don't know what they're doing. We need to save the people from themselves. If you think for a minute that the Democrat Party, they must be out of their, well, they are out of their minds. So Trump derangement syndrome is a serious thing, and it really skews your ability to have any kind of critical thinking whatsoever. Think about this. Okay, so you eliminate him as a candidate. Do you think you're going to win over the voters, the people who were supporting him and wanted to vote for him? Do you think you're going to win them over by doing that? Do you think you're going to win over independents now by doing that? Oh, well, I guess he's not there. I guess I might as well go ahead and vote for the Democrats since they were able to eliminate him. Thanks for saving the democracy. It won't matter. If Donald Trump is somehow taken off the ballot, taken out of the race, and they put up, as Nancy Pelosi would say, a glass of water on the Republican side, the glass of water will win simply because nobody's going to show up to vote for Democrats. And everybody will show up to vote against them. And they cannot see that. They cannot see their nose in front of their face because of the woods, trees, whatever. Whatever that is. I don't like a baby. Get out of here. I don't understand what they're thinking. I really don't. It is El Bizarro world to me that they can think that they're going to get away with this. The only reason they're going after him is because if he was losing in the polls, if he was just down like crazy, and yeah, okay, so he won the primary, but man, he's just down in the polls. American people don't want him, and we're going to win anyway. They wouldn't care. They wouldn't be going after him. They want him to be in court every. This Bragg wants him to be in court every. This is a criminal charge. What they're saying is that he paid this hush money with campaign funds. And the campaign funds, you know, by misappropriating campaign funds, he committed a felony because he spent this money to cover up another crime. He committed a misdemeanor to cover up another crime, which was campaign fund financing funds. Of course, now, it was all cash and it's all fungible. And Fannie Willis can scream, oh, it was all cash. You can't prove anything. It's all fungible. And she's trying to get off the hook with that argument. But you can't apply that to Donald Trump because, you know, he committed a felony and we have to put him away for 10 years. That's what the charges he's facing are 10 years in prison. And he has to be in court every day or he's going to be in contempt of court and they will throw him in prison again for that. If he goes to see his son's graduation, if he's on the campaign trail, they're trying to take him off the campaign trail. This is, and you want to talk about a blatant interference with the election. It's just ridiculous. I have a little kitty trying to get my attention here. She's just such a cutie pie. It's just irresistible. I can't resist her. She has to be petted. So I have, and the world sees it. Even Elon Musk has now come out and made comments saying this is obviously lawfare. They're calling it warfare, using the law against him. So I don't know exactly how this is going to play out. But obviously, these people are going to do anything they can to get this guy out of office, to keep the guy out of office. And we're still a long ways from the election. Now, if all this stuff continues to fail, what will they do? Because they're going to escalate this. I'm concerned about this, as everyone should be. Here's the thing. Here's the problem with all this. I'm not advocating for this. I'm just saying, and maybe they're trying to, maybe they are poking the hornet's nest and poking the bear for this very reason. Maybe they do want someone to escalate this into a civil war. I guarantee you, if they take him out and he's not allowed to be on the ballot in November, there are groups that will rise up, I'm sure. I'm sure of that. You thought that there was an insurrection on January 6th. I don't believe the American people, most of them, the majority of the people who were going to vote for this guy are going to stand by and watch this happen. I really don't. And if they do, they do. I'm not advocating for violence. I'm just saying it could happen. And I think they want it to happen. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there will be a hammer that will drop on this nation like you've never seen before, especially on conservatives. It will not matter whether you are a part of it or not. Look at what they're doing right now with the January 6th folks that have been gone after for what happened that day. And anybody who voted for Trump, anybody who supports Trump, anybody who questions the election is an insurrectionist. You're one of the problems. You're that MAGA crowd. You should all be rounded up and thrown in jail. People like Lawrence O'Donnell are out there just smiling like the cat who ate the canary in the coal mine. Whatever that saying is, I'm not sure. Because, they're going after Trump. And he acts real serious. Oh, so they're going after Trump now. Trump lawyers are, get this. They're threatening to prosecute Trump's lawyers if they take it to the Supreme Court. If they try to appeal it, they're going to arrest and charge the lawyers for defending a felon. What is going on here? Meanwhile, they're letting murderers out. Or going out and guess what they're doing? Murdering people. There was a police officer recently shot in New York. Shot and killed. She was on duty. This guy who'd been incarcerated several times had just been recently, within the last day or so, let out on zero bail. They're blaming it on the guns. He had a gun. He had an illegal gun. Yeah, I assume that when he got out of jail, when they took him from the police station, when he left the police station there, he just went out to the illegal gun store, bought that. Now they also that little side note here. They're trying to close this. Supposedly the ATF now has closed the gun show loophole. They're closing the gun show loophole. The gun show loophole is a myth. That's never been a thing. But now they're closing that. If I have a gun and I want to sell it to somebody, I have to prove, maybe I've owned it for 20 years. I have to prove that I didn't buy that gun with the intention. I have to prove it. I can't just make it obvious. I can't say, I have to prove that I didn't buy that gun with the intention of reselling it. I guess once you buy a gun now, it's yours forever. Because otherwise you become an arms dealer. Did you know that? I guess if you bought a car and you sell it, and when it's, you drive it for 5 years and you sell it, now you're a car dealer. Oh, you're a car dealer now. That's the kind of ridiculousness we're getting into with this radical crap. It's just crap. It is just unbelievable baloney. Big Fannie Willis. I've been listening to some of her testimony again because they've been replaying it, rehashing it, because she's in the hot seat again. There's all this stuff going on now with these investigations that had been going on before the whole trial even started. But then when the trial started, there was even more investigations, and now there's all this issues with misappropriation of funds, the state funds state and federal funding that came through that she apparently blew on her boyfriend. This woman is, sometimes people do bad things and they fess up to them, and at least they know that they're wrong and they have some contrition. This woman is, in my opinion, it's more evil when you do things you know are wrong, and then you argue and you accuse the other person, and you even bring God into it and pretend like you're the pure little saint. You stand before a church and say, "Oh, gee, God," and have an open prayer, open letter to God about your situation. God, why did they do this? God, why did they do that? Why did they go after only that man, God? Because she was implying racism. That's why they went after her boyfriend. Even though I paid them the same. No, you didn't pay them the same. You paid them the same rate. But you only paid one guy, it was $25,000, whatever it was, $175,000. The other guy got almost $1 million. Because they worked more. You gave him more work, supposedly, at least on paper. Paid him the same rate. The lying and the conniving, the deception, in my opinion, that is all worse than the actual crime itself. It's one thing to be able to confess what you've done and be able to show some remorse. It's very different when you're trying to hide it, defend it, and accuse the other person. How dare you catch me shoplifting? This is the attitude we had here in this city for a while. I knew somebody who was a manager of a grocery store. was a good friend of mine at the time. His wife was managing this grocery store, and she was able to keep the thing going in a part of town that was not so easy to manage stores. Let's just put it that way. It was just a lot of shoplifting in that area. She was able to manage it, and she kept going. And the owner of the store was so impressed that she would talk about quitting, and he made her an offer that was just ridiculous. And he said, "No, you, I'll pay you this to keep you here. This, you're doing such a good job." He said, "You're the only reason, because I would never be able to find anybody else that can manage the store the way you do and continue to turn a profit, because it's just, if you leave, I will have to shut the place down." So he basically was paying her almost everything he was making. And so she kept it going for a few more years, and after a while, it was just impossible. She just couldn't do it, and they just agreed that the place needed to be shut down. It's very, very difficult for him to keep it going. Now, one of the things that she would tell me is people would come in to the store and they would shoplift. The little kitty cat came back. They would shoplift, and in the process of this shoplifting, if you caught them, they would yell at you, scream at you, and basically accuse you. It's basically say, "How dare you? How dare you catch me shoplifting? Like it was your fault." They would blame you for them getting caught. They would come in and use their, at this time we had a weird system with welfare, the whatever they called it at that time, assistance of some kind, assistance program. So they would come in and they could only use the card that they had or whatever they had, their little, I think it was actually coupons at that time, they called it food stamps. How are you going to get down from there? And they would do this kind of thing where they would come in and they would buy something like a pack of gum, cash out their food stamps, and then you get cash back for change. And they would take that cash and they'd go back and they would buy things they weren't supposed to buy with their food stamps. It worked the system like that all the time. That's deceptive. That's playing the system, which is, you know, well, good for you, but that's, I paid $20,000 in taxes. Did I mention that? That's on top of everything that was withheld from my check from last year. It's unbelievable. Now, what amazes me is how much I actually, I mean, I'm glad I'm making so much money that that I'm in a high tax bracket. That part of it I'm glad about. I'm not happy about the fact that the government seems to think that they need to take more from me now. They've been taking from me all my life. Just for surviving, just for living, just for making a living. Now all of a sudden, they want to take more. It just blows my mind. I had a buddy of mine, I just happened to get on Facebook. I hardly ever get on Facebook anymore. I had a buddy of mine, just saw a post that he made. He said, I got to pay my property tax. I just got my property, because the property tax bills came out same day. I got my property tax bill yesterday on tax day. After paying all that out, and you get a property tax bill. He made this comment. He said, "My property taxes have gone up 10%. Of course, one of his left-wing liberal wacko friends said, "Would the value of property go up 10%? Well, probably not. The guy was trying to make the argument that the value of his property went up. Well, they have an assessor look at that. He said, no, the assessment's the same, but they made some kind of an adjustment. It went up 10%. It did this to me with a commercial property I own. 1 year I paid X amount of dollars. The next year I came back, got my bill. It was 2.5 times what it was the year before. They all of a sudden decided my property was worth 2.5 times more than it was. So I went downtown. So this is, I said, if you want to pay me that much for that property, tell you what, I'll sell it to you. If you want, right, you can write a check out today. I will take it and we'll sell this thing today for that amount of money, and I'll leave everything in there for you, because that property and everything that's in it is not worth that much money. It's the house across the street from me. There was a commercialized, it was a business building. It was actually, at one time it was a house, but it got B1 status in the city there. And it was, they tried to sell it for over almost 2 years and they had to drop the price. Ended up having to sell it on a land contract. The property value in that area is just not that high. Now, it soon will be. They're making some improvements in the road. There's some changes coming to that area that's going to make the property go up. Now, this was like 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago when they tried to do this. I filed some paperwork. I protested it. And I got it reduced by about half what they wanted. So I was still paying more. But I even now, I know that the assessment they have on that property is probably more than I could get out of it, even though I've put a new metal roof on it, new heating and air conditioning system in it, high-efficiency furnace. And I'm pretty sure I probably could not get any more out of it than what I paid for it. Maybe a little bit more. I don't know. It would probably be a decent property if I could rent it out. Probably actually make some money on it if I rented it out. But then you don't know what you're going to get into at that point. That can become a mess really fast. The wrong people. Usually commercial renters are better than just your average like home renter. But you never know. It's still a crazy mix. So we'll find out, I guess, what happens with this. I do have some office space that I could rent it out, probably, if I wanted to go that route. And that may be what it becomes eventually. As I get older, I may kind of shut things down there and move everything to the house and just create a rental property there. Because I think that would actually probably work out pretty well. And then, I've got some equity in the thing and I can turn around and sell it. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, the point being here that Fannie Willis, one of the things she said during her testimony, I happened to catch this. She said the testimony of one witness is enough to prove a fact of a crime. To prove a fact, or however she said it, I think prove a fact in a crime. I have never heard that in my life. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a legal counselor person. I'm not even a paralegal. I have always heard that it takes two independent witnesses, to establish a fact. Now, if you have other corroborating evidence or exculpatory evidence, then that witness can, but that is in and of itself a witness. So there's almost like you have to have two witnesses. This is a biblical principle, actually, even. You have to have two witnesses. If one accuser, it's not enough. Now, if you have two accusers that don't know each other, independently seeing the same thing and they witness the crime, well, now you've got verification. Otherwise, it's hearsay. This is the Cassidy Hutchinson wacko story where she heard somebody else say something. She testified on behalf of hearsay. She literally came into the January 6th commission, told this story about everything that was going on with Donald Trump that she heard about. Literally hearsay. She didn't. She wasn't the one. Why didn't they go after the people? Why didn't they call in the people who actually said these things? When she said, oh, I heard them say something to the effect of, he reached up to grab the driver to try to get him to go to the Capitol building. She heard somebody else say that that's what he did. Why don't they call in the person that was in the car? Anybody that was in the car, who later on came out and said, none of that was true. That didn't happen. None of that happened. The conversation, nothing like that happened at all. He got in the car and they went back to the White House. But we're supposed to believe Cassidy Hutchinson, who got a big hug from Liz Cheney,
because she cares so much about our country. We need to get rid of this man. Our democracy. Because the people are going to commit political suicide by voting for Donald Trump.
I'm concerned about our country right now. And I'm going to be very frank. And this is what I want you to pray for, folks, as we move forward throughout the rest of this week. Now, I don't know. I'll be in Oklahoma City. I'll be in Little Rock tomorrow. I may actually have a late afternoon show tomorrow afternoon. So keep an eye out for that. But there won't be an early show. Let's just put it that way tomorrow. But there probably will be a late afternoon show, maybe. The next day, Thursday, possibly another late afternoon show. It all depends on whether I can get back home or not. I'm going to be getting back from Little Rock. I think I get back into Chicago around noon, their time. So it's going to be very late in the day. So hopefully there will be a show. But we'll see how it goes. In the meantime, the thing that concerns me, and I think the thing that we need to pray about in this country, is they continue to escalate this stuff, and they continue to really rub against the ire of a lot of people in this country. And when they start to recognize what's actually happening, we're having our country taken away from us, from we the people. And they've decided for us who will be our candidates and who will be the winners. That I think, in Russia, they've basically enabled. And the thing I've heard from most Russian people that I know, that I've talked to, especially people from the former Soviet Union, you talk to more of those, but they say, well, what they do is they eliminate the possibility of, they just know that when you vote, it doesn't matter. They just kind of eliminate any kind of, people just don't really care anymore. They don't. That's why Putin wins all the time, is because there's nefarious things going on with their election. Of course, there's no proof of any kind of widespread voter fraud over there. From the guy who says, doesn't matter. It's not the votes that count, it's the people who count the votes that count. And it's one of those things that I don't think the American people are going to continue to sit back and watch. I don't think that will happen here. There will be some who will be complacent and say, well, it doesn't matter who I vote for anyway. We're just going to stop voting because it doesn't matter. They want the complacency, the compliance. And sadly, that's where we're headed. But I don't think everybody in this country is going to allow it to happen. We've had our drink of independence, and we see it being taken away from us. And there are people who understand the price that was paid for that. I don't think they're willing to sit back and watch it happen. We'll find out. I don't know. Now, there are means to do this without violence. But it's going to take tremendous effort and a tremendous amount of unity and organization to do it. Because things need to be set straight. The Constitution needs to be adhered to. The rule of law needs to be adhered to. They have twisted it and messed it up so badly. We need to pray that the right people at the right time are put in place to straighten this mess out. Because it is a mess. And it's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us. We can't just sit back and watch this happen. And expect somebody else to take care of it for us. We all need to get involved. Speak our minds. Come what may. Support those who are in this ideological battle. And then move forward. Folks, I want to thank you once again for listening this morning. And for praying for our nation. For having the tenacity to go at this, to be engaged, to be knowledgeable of what's happening. And yes, it does matter what you think. It does matter that you know what's going on. It matters. You matter. Let us all pray together for this nation, that the leaders, the organizations, the things that need to be brought down will be brought down, and the things that need to be lifted up will be lifted up. We'll pray for each other. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your week, rest of your day. We'll talk to you hopefully tomorrow. God bless.